I don't know if any of you here have particularly vivid dreams. Do you have particularly vivid? And I don't want you to explain to me now. All right? Okay? There are some things best kept to yourselves. I woke up in the middle of the night this week convinced that I had left the car door open. The battery was completely drained, and I had to get somewhere important the next morning. It was the morning prior to my father's funeral, and you could imagine the panic that I felt when I woke up and thought, I can't go anywhere because I have failed to shut the car door. It was still there. The door was shut. It was locked. Everything was fine. I'm not saying that John the Divine had a dream, because dreams, as the experts in these things will say, are sometimes the internal workings of our minds and our brains. John the Divine, I firmly believe, was gifted a vision through the presence of the living Christ, and that is a fundamental difference. Fundamental difference. This was not his whim and fancy. This was a vision of what is and what is to come. And it begins by him understanding what Christ is, who Christ is, why Christ is eternal, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the all in all, the King of Kings, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord of Lords, as we have just sung. So much so that when John received this vision, he said, I fell down like a dead man. Have we lost the sense of awe and wonder? Noumenos is the Greek word that is used to describe that sense of awe and wonder of the presence of Christ. I love the way that we greet each other first thing on a Sunday morning, and we come in and we shake hands and we hug and we kiss and we say, lovely to see you, how's it going, what's going on, how are you, you know, the things that concern you, are they? But I remember as a child tiptoeing into the Sunday morning meeting, and a sense of wonder and awe and majesty at the presence of God here, where his people gather. Have we lost our first love? The seven letters written that are recorded here in these first chapters of Revelation are not meant to be a pick the one that's closest to you and learn from it. It's meant to be a coherent and inclusive message to the early church. Although we will take them one by one in our teaching and our reflections on the Sunday morning over the coming weeks and months, there is within it a sense of cohesion and continuity. You see, these churches were at the western end of what we now call Turkey. John the Divine was in exile on the island of Patmos, just off the coast there, and the closest major port and city was Ephesus. And then if you work your way up and around in a horseshoe shape, you would come then to Smyrna and to Pergamum. You would go inland to Thyatira and come back down via Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And these group of seven churches were of a piece, where they were of an identity. It was like Western Turkey division, if you want it like that. Okay? Not the West Cotswolds Division, the Western Turkey Division. And there they were. And John wanted to communicate to them what he felt Christ was saying to them. And there have been countless people who have stood in front of a congregation and said, look, this is what I think God is saying. Would you hear? Would you listen? Just for a moment. But there is a warning here. There's got to be a warning, because you may recognize yourself in these letters. You may recognize yourself. In fact, there have probably been times this morning, there have for me, when I have recognized myself and my situation and my particular circumstances for this moment in the songs and the music and the words that we have already shared. Now, I hope you recognize yourself. I do. And if you recognize yourself, then please be prepared to reflect and to respond to that, so that this could be the message to the church in Gloucester, just as equally as to the church in Ephesus. What is Ephesus? Ephesus was a financial centre. It was a banking centre. It was self-reliant. It was a scene of some very interesting events in its life. It didn't want help from outside. It was quite protectionist. We hear a lot about that these days. But it was also the seat and the centre of some rather dark activities, morally, spiritually. It was a centre of perceived magic, of the powers of darkness and evil were given opportunity to be explored in that place. And so when you look at the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, you will see that his constant reference to things like, you are children of light, let your light be shown. This reference to light said that actually we're in a world where darkness is sometimes held up as a great thing to be part of. Enjoy yourself, have fun, eat, drink, live life. But so often it is twisted into the darker side of life, and abuse and overindulgence and license takes over. And as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, don't let that be a part of your life. Don't. The letters to the seven churches all follow a similar pattern. They are addressed to an angel. It's as if in the planning of God, there is an angel that is looking after and over a church. They are recognized each as a lampstand here in this vision. They're there reflecting the words of Jesus while on earth. You are a light to the world. A lamp is not put under a bucket, but put on a lampstand. You are the lampstand. You are the light. My dear friends, myself included, where we go, we are the light in the world. And then the letter also includes an aspect of Christ as seen in this vision. Here he is described as the holder of the seven stars and the seven lampstands. And then comes two very, very strong and profound words in this letter, this message. The Christ says, I know. I know. It's as if nothing is hidden from the Christ. Now, for some, that is a fearful message to hear. If what is going on in your life you know is not as Christ would have it, the fact that he says, I know, can actually be fearful. But we need to marry that up with his knowledge, with his love and his care and his desire that every one of us should come into a right and full knowledge of him as Lord and Saviour. So let's look at the pros and cons, shall we? We do that so often, don't we? Of this message to the church at Ephesus. He saw them as hardworking, as persevering, of not tolerating wicked people, of testing those who claim to have a message from God, of enduring hardship and not growing weary. Now, that's a great list to be encouraged by. And if you see yourself there, in that list, you have the well done of the Christ. I know, says Jesus. I know how hardworking you are, how persevering you are, how the fact you don't tolerate wickedness, how you test those who claim to have a message from God, how you endure hardship, and how you don't grow weary. But have you lost your first love? Has your real passion for your relationship with Jesus been supplanted by your hard work, by your endurance? Is that what's happened? You've said, it's okay, I'm busy. I'm busy about the Lord's work. Whereas actually, he's saying, stop being that one who's busy about, and be the one who sits at my feet and just occasionally listens to what I have to say. It's okay you calling me Lord, Lord, but you've got to do what I say. You've got to be obedient. I shouldn't really do this, but nobody's listening, so that's okay. You shouldn't use Google Translate for your Bible studying, but I did. I cut and pasted the original Greek into Google Translate. All right? For this line that's here in the message, which in various versions says, look how far you have fallen from your first love. I've cut and pasted it into Google Translate, and this is what it came up with. And this is the Christ speaking. I do not know that your love is the first you have. I thought, it's a bit strange. But isn't that what it's about? Christ is saying, I don't know that what you actually love is what you first had. So let's be careful about this, shall we? Let's be careful. But if you can get that right, if you can get that love right, that agape love, your love for one another, your love for Christ right, as so many have, then I will allow you that blessed joy of eternity with me to eat of the tree of life. Repent, turn back, and the reward is eternal life. You know, we've all got things that we need sorting out. Sometimes our knitting gets tangled. Sometimes our stitches get dropped. And we have to turn back. I know, I've seen it happen. The unpicking of the rows of knitting and the starting again. And sometimes we need to do that with our Christian life. We need to unpick and we need to go back to where we were. Frankie, could you just play that again for us? Do you mind? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. And maybe somebody this morning just needs to unravel a couple of rows of knitting in your spiritual life. And here's the place you can do it this morning. To come and say to Jesus the Christ, I love you. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice.